You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Into this week, and we're still in this series, No Worries, and so this is the last sermon in the series. Look at someone and say, No Worries. How many know that how many got no worries? I've got no worries, man. I'm not worrying. No hands go up. Wow. Maybe we need to stay on this series a little bit longer, man. There's a story about this guy, and so he was in the Second World War, and so he's in a submarine, and so they start to go through some sort of battle, and so imagine, I've never been, how many of you have ever been on a submarine underwater? I've never been on a submarine underwater. Can you imagine it? Can you just imagine, you're stuck underwater in this thing, and so he's a soldier, he's underwater, and they go into a battle, and they're dropping the enemies are dropping these bombs into the water, and they're exploding. And so what it is the submarine has to go low, but it can't go too far. There's problems with the boat, and so they're down there for 15 hours, and every minute they're boosh, these bombs, these explosions, not knowing if it's going to be the next one that finds them and ruptures the whole submarine. Imagine drowning. Listen, that's not, I don't want to do that. No. So they're there in this thing, and every minute they're there, all the soldiers, and these things are going off, these depth charges or whatever they're called. And so he said, while he was there, he started to think about his life and the things that he was worried about before this point. And he started to think about, he was worried about, what someone had said to him. And he was worried about how someone had looked at him. And he was worried about, paying that bill. And as he was there, under the water in this ship, and it was either really cold or really, I can't remember, but not knowing any minute these explosions, and he could die, the water could come in. He started to realize, he said, you know what, the stuff that I was worrying about weren't worth worrying about. He said, this is serious. And they was down there for 15 hours. And he said, after a while, it went silent. And they was able to come up. And they was able to go home. And he went home and he went on and lived his life. And what he said was, from that moment, he realizes he chose not to worry about things that just didn't need to be worried about. From that moment, something in him changed, and he chose. He said, no, things have to change. And he said, from that moment, he got the victory. I want to read a scripture, Proverbs 25, verse 28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Let me read that again. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy. I pray, Heavenly Father, you would speak to us, you would encourage us. Father, I pray for those that are going through things right now. They've got issues and things going on in their life. Father, the worries are all around them. And Father, it may feel like they're under, just beneath the surface, Lord, and things are exploding in their life. I pray right now you would help them. You would set them free. And Father, you would show them the light at the end of the tunnel is always Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I want to preach a sermon, Control. Get control of yourself. Because this scripture says, if you do not have a rule over your own spirit, meaning your own inner man, if you cannot control your inner man, your thoughts, you cannot gain control over yourself and how you think and what you allow to affect you, it says that you are like a city broken down without walls. I was looking a little bit about what worry can do to people, and they said the problem what worry will do. There's certain amount, the human experience is made around to have a little bit of stress, because a little bit of stress brings out the best in you. What that means is that, if you start to, there's a problem, I'm a bit stressed out about this problem, you something in you, your body, your brain becomes more alert, more sensitive, and you start to think you can figure things out. And that's the part of the way that we're built, the way God designed us. But constant stress, hour after hour, day after day, month after month, is not healthy. It's not good. You was not made for this continual stress. You was not made to worry. And so this is why when people worry and they're in stress, they're getting stressed out, there are actually biological problems that are caused by stress. So think about this now. The stress is inside of you in your mind or your brain, and you're thinking about things. You can't sleep at night. You're worried. You're going on and round in your head. It starts to do things in your body. You can get stomach ulcers. It can lead to heart disease. You have an increased risk of heart attack and stroke because of your worry and your stress. It can cause muscle tension, headaches, back pain. It can cause constipation and even diarrhea. So we don't want you stressing in here today. How many say amen to that? So the thing is, why do people you ever met people that are always stressed out? Those people that are always stressed out about everything, always worrying about that, always everything's going on in their mind. It's like, why? You're gonna hurt yourself. But the thing is, I ask you about this, people that are always worried and always stressed and really never got the victory, is it because they have more worries and stresses than everybody else? Do you know how many times it's not? Do you know how many times that it's not a case that they've got more worries than everybody else? How many know we all know people that have got it worse off than us? How many know that's the truth? We know people that have it worse off than us. There's some people that we all know of. We've got a picture. Have you got the guy here that without the limbs? If you put him up, okay, he's a bit, we've elongated it. How many know who this guy is? Haven't you ever seen this guy? I can't pronounce his surname, but it's Nick Vong something. Anyway, yeah, there you go. This guy, he goes around doing motivational speaking. He has no arms and no legs. No arms and no legs. If you can Google him, you can go on there. You just type into Google, man with no arms and legs. He will come up. He was on some different shows, Oprah Winfrey show, other shows, and he's just there encouraging people. He'll go into schools, into colleges, and he'll go talk to people about, you know what, live life to the full. The guy's married, and his wife's good looking. He's doing better than something anyway. And so listen, he's this guy here. How many know he's got something to worry about? If there was anybody that had something to worry about. Yeah. See, some of you are not saying, yeah, you know why? Because you know where I'm going with this. It's like, yeah, no. This guy's got something to worry about, man. But he's always, what he's known for is having the victory. There's another picture of this lady. Some of you know who this lady is. And so basically, this lady met up with some punk on Facebook. Listen, no one ain't got no business meeting no one on Facebook. Listen, if you find your boyfriend on Facebook, you asking for trouble. Look at someone and say trouble with a capital T. Nothing's going to happen good. You want to find a man, get your face in God's book. Yeah, you go on Facebook, find it. Listen, the guy's telling you, oh yeah, I do this and I do that. And yeah, this unfortunate young lady, she found a boyfriend on Facebook. Different things started to go on. I can't remember the story. He got someone to go and throw acid in her face when she broke up with him. Acid in her face. She was like a model, and so her face was all melted and everything like that. And so she had some surgery, and now she's married. She's had a child, and she was on a show. She said, "I didn't realize this. How do you find being pregnant?" She said, "I didn't even realize I was going to have another boyfriend again, or someone was going to want me again." Here is this woman talking about being happy, about getting on with life, about living life. Imagine someone throws acid in your face. How many know that's something to worry about? See, that we can always find people that have more problems than us. Some of you know about Pastor Joe Campbell and Pastor Artie Aragon. These are pastors in our fellowship, leaders in our fellowship. Men of God, been serving God for decades. Not just years, decades. Been preaching for decades. Why have I mentioned those two men? Pastor Joe Campbell, as he was a pastor and a missionary and gave himself for the things of God, his daughter died. His teenage daughter died Imagine that you're a pastor and you're a pastor, you're out there serving God, and your teenage daughter dies. Right there, you think, listen, it's not like I was out there selling crack. It's not like I was out there doing, you know, shooting up the place. Here is a man serving God. Built a powerful church in Chandler, Phoenix, Arizona. Then goes to, I think he went to the Philippines or I can't remember. And he goes and starts a church. And after he's constantly giving the sacrificing for God, then his daughter dies. Some of you now, you're having children. Think about that. This is like one of the worst things, to bury your child. Pastor Artie Aragon, his son dies. His son dies in a car accident. And I think the car accident, it might have been coming from conference. Coming from conference. Like, come on, man. It's not like he was hanging in a gang. He's coming from a Bible conference. And the son has an accident and dies. And he goes in and sees his child. And he preached on it when I was in Rotherhithe as a disciple. He did a revival. And he said how he saw his son lying on the table dead. And he just cried, God! But today he's still serving God, still a pastor. He preaches in one of the reservations, the Indian reservation, the Native American reservations in America. This man is still serving God today. Got the victory. How many know there's always someone that's got something to worry about? There are many pastors that I know personally who their wife have had miscarriages. Their wives have had many, they've preached in this church, you would never know. Their wives have had miscarriages, multiple miscarriages. People's parents died. I was thinking of my own mother. My own mother's, her mom died when my mom was about 14. Just at the time when you need a mother to come around you and teach you about being a woman and teach you about your life and teach you about how to dress. And my mom would say, you know what, once, you know, this is back in the day, man. And so when my mom's mom died, my granddad, he's, you know, just this guy from Ireland, he don't know how to teach my mom how to be a woman. And so she's just raggedy, living life, she don't know what's going on. But listen, she lived her life, got saved, had me, had my sister, and lived on. You don't hear her going on. Listen, there is always someone who's got things harder than us. And I could go on and on and on, and you could go on and on about things that... Can I say to you today, worry is not so much about what we go through, but what we allow to go through us. What we allow to go through us. See, the Bible says that whoever has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. See, when the Bible says this, we don't really understand this, or we don't see the picture of it, because, you know, we live in the city of London. We live in London, and obviously there's the city, the square mile, but we don't really have walls anymore. But in Bible times, every city would need walls, otherwise people would just roll in there and destroy it. It would have no infrastructure, it'd have no economics, it would have no order, it'd have chaos. Because it had to have walls around it. And sometimes you go to places up north. I've been to York. And when you go into York, there's a big wall. There's like a castle wall around it when you go in. And other places. Because these are like places that were built on how it would have been like in Bible times. So what is the Bible saying here without walls? Meaning that there's no way to control who's coming in and out. See, when a city has walls, they would have certain gates. And then you'd open the gate. Who are you? Where are you going? Okay, you can come in. No, you can't come in. You're an enemy. And so they'd have gates. And what it's saying is, a man that cannot control his spirit is like a city that has no walls. So imagine we take on down all the walls. Anybody who wants to come in will come in. Anybody that wants to just encroach upon that city. And the Bible is saying that's how we are. If we cannot control our spirit, anything that wants to come into your life... Do you know the amount of people that this is really our culture today? People that cannot control their spirit. No, I just can't take this no more. You hear people say that? I can't take this no more. No. I couldn't. Look, stop. Calm down. Control your spirit. No, I can't. Don't get me angry. If you kick off, listen, you don't want me to kick off on you. I get out of control. You boast about it. The Bible says you're like a city without walls. Anything in life is going to start to come in on you. A city without walls. Let me give you some words here. vulnerable, exposed, unprotected. That's how we are. If we cannot control our spirit, if we cannot control our emotions, if we cannot control what we think about and how we worry about things, everything is going to come in upon your life. You're vulnerable. And all the little things of life are going to start to come in. And they're going to stress you out. They're going to worry. You're going to worry about you're getting older. You're going to worry about you're putting on weight. You're losing weight. You're gaining hair. You're losing hair. You're going to worry about the job, the boss, the people that you're employed with, the people under you. You're going to worry about everything because all of these things are going to start to come in on your life. Because there's no, if there was a wall, we could be like, "Hey, what's this? Oh, so and so said this. Who cares what people say? I've got to live my life. You're not coming in here. You're not coming in here. Oh, this they said that the economy is going down. Well, I'm working. I'm doing the best I can. Get out. I can't control the economy. I'm not the Chancellor of the Exchequer. What can I do? I can only go to work and work as hard as I can. That's all I can do." And so all of these things start to come in on you because every little thing. See, can I say to you today, life is constantly giving you little things to worry about. It's every day, even today, life is giving you more things. And it doesn't want to, and it never takes anything back. It just day by day giving you more things. More things. More things to worry about. More things. Have you not noticed that? More things. As you get older. When you remember being in school, when you was like, just in school, was worried about, oh, I got to go to school tomorrow, and that girl, she's going to say something about me. Remember, that's like all we had to worry about. Oh, that brother, yeah, I'm going to punch him in the face. I'm going to have a, come outside and say that. You know, that's all we worried about. When we was like, oh, but it's so hard. And then we got a bit older, and then you start to worry about, does that girl like me? Does that boy like me? And then you start to go a bit older, and then you now some of you are thinking about careers or education, and you worry about, oh, what am I going to get in my exams, da, 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 and that tutor, and that professor, and all of this, and then you got to worry about getting a job, and then you start worrying about a house, then you get married, and you're worried about marriage, what about my life? Then you have kids, and you start worrying about your kids, and then you're just going to start worrying about your kids' kids. Life never goes on. Listen, it never gets to a point where life just says, no, I'm going to start taking worries away from you now. You don't live longer and you get less worries. Life will just keep giving you more stuff to worry about if you choose. The Bible says you need to control your spirit and say, no, you're giving me more to worry about. No, I have more responsibilities, but I do not have to worry about all of them. See, many of the things I spoke about are little things. See, most people here, there are some people here that are really going through some deep things. There are some people here who are really going through some struggles right now. People here whose families are sick and going through, these are genuine things, man. We can't belittle these things. There are people here, their finances, it's like they're living from hand to mouth. They don't know where, you know, literally next week, how are they going to get by? There are people here that are worried about different issues to do with, can I stay in this country or not? What's going to happen to me? There are genuine worries, genuine concerns. I shouldn't say genuine worries, genuine concerns. But I want to say this is that most of us, it's not that. Most of us, you know, it's not really that. It's little things. Do you know what causes problems in marriages? It's little things. I've yet for a couple to call me for counseling over a big thing. Like, you know, he woke up and she was over him with a knife. And I just moved out of the way and she took the pillow. No one, I'll be like, yeah, bro, man, listen, you need to come stay at my house, man. We need to call the police. We need to call somebody. That's never happened to anybody yet. I've never, you know, yet she's crossing the road and she sees him at the traffic lights. And, yeah! That is yet to happen. We have not had anything. I got married to him and then I realized he's like a drug baron. I married her and she's joined ISIS. Those things haven't happened. You know where it always is? It's like, Pastor, you know what happened? I went around, I came home, and the toothpaste, the little thing on the toothpaste? It was off. Yeah, that's right. She left it off. And I've been telling her, I hate it when it's off.
So what happened?
I told her, why is it off? And she said, if you want it on, you should put it on. And I said, listen, I don't need to put it on, because you put it off.
I said, okay, bro, sis. How many of us are stupid little things? It's always stupid little things. People got beef over the simplest things. And then, you know, they're strangling each other, fighting. What? How did this start? Toothpaste. Because, can I say, if you cannot control your spirit, that little stupid argument just wanders into your city. No resistance. That little stupid thing, that someone looked at you funny, that you've been thinking about it for months. For months, someone said something funny. And it's just wandering around your life, unchecked, unguarded, unmonitored, giving you worries. The Bible says, listen, unless you will control your spirit, you're like a city without walls. You've got to choose not to let little things get you down. You've got to choose. If you do not choose, they will get you down. Can I say, life is too short to live for silly little things? Life is too short. You think about it now, we talk about life in years. We have birthdays every year. And so usually we don't divide life into days. You know, every day we don't say, oh, happy birthday. Because it's a day, another day that you've... We don't say that. We don't do it for months. We do it for years. And so we usually calculate years. But imagine if we break your life into decades. Decades. That means I'm 4 decades old. 4. And you know, the Bible says that really most men get 70, and it's Old Testament way of saying 70 years. That's what it is. So that's 7 decades. So really and truly, I'm over halfway there. And some of you are like, hey, but even if you're in your 20s, that's 2 decades. You've already done your 2 decades. If you're lucky, you got another 6. Another 5. Another 5. And you're gonna waste time. You're gonna waste your time worrying about small things. Like you've had a grudge with someone for a decade. You've wasted a whole decade. Bitter. When you only get 7, I think the first decade, what you weren't doing, you didn't know what you was doing anyway. First decade, you were just running around wetting yourself, licking lollipops. The second decade, you weren't wearing yourself, but you're still just running around licking lollipops. So really, the first 2 decades, you didn't do anything anyway. And so then you start to get in your 20s now. This is when you've got to concentrate and do some stuff and get some stuff going. And then think about this now. Once you start to get 60, 70, you don't have the same energy you had. You still, your brain is working, hopefully. Brain is functioning, but you don't have the same energy that you used to have. So you need to be doing, you're adjusting, you're doing other things. When you think about it like that, life is too short for me to be worried about silly little things. I've got to make a choice today. God, I'm controlling. I need to take control of my spirit. God, I need you to help me. I do not want to be this city without walls. See, don't stop asking for life to get easier. Pray that God will make you stronger. Life is never going to get easier. Did you know that? Life will never get easier. It is what it is. This is life. You've got to process that. You've got to get to the point. Some people here, you just got to stop whining about life. And you've got to say, this is life. I need to get stronger. I'm going to get through this. My family's going to get through this. My kids are going to get through this. My marriage is going to get through this. We're going to survive financially. We're going to survive spiritually. We're going to do this. God, you're going to make me strong. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be people that do things. We preached upon it on Wednesday. There's going to be trials and tribulations. There's going to be persecution. People are going to let you down. People are going to say all types of things. But you've got to set in your mind and say, listen. No. See, the problems of life are like a brush. And either they're going to wear you down or polish you up.
I remember when my first job I got, I was about 16. I worked for a company, I worked for Next. And so I worked in a place called Holborn. And so I was working in Holborn and they had these door handles. And they were like brass door handles. And they said, I was there and they said, we want you to, I'd never, you know, know anything about brass. And they gave me this thing called brasso. And it's like a rough brush, a brushed type of cloth. And you had to go out and they said, we want you to polish this thing. And so I didn't know how long it would take. So I'm just sweating, polishing this thing. And so when the managing director did a visit to our store, he's like, that thing is blinding. Who done that, man? And it was like, oh, yeah, you know, he polished it. What it was is this rough brush was rough. But as it was rubbing onto the brass became more shiny. See, if you use that rough brush on something soft, it would wear it down. See, that's life. The problems of life is like a brush. It's rubbing on you. It's all of us here rubbing on us. Every single person here, your problems, your concerns, they're rubbing on you. But either it's going to wear you down. It's going to wear you down. Your morals are going to wear down. Some of you here, you're involved in things you shouldn't be involved in. You know why? And you make excuses because, that's life. I just got to do that. Got to make it happen. Yeah, because life is rough, isn't it? So it's wearing you down. And some of you here, you're selfish and you're doing things and you're involved in things. Or some of you have become, woe is me. You feel sorry for yourself all the time. You come to church looking at everyone else. Why is no one loving me? Why doesn't everybody just come around me and have a little pity party and have a cake? And life is a brush. It will either wear you down or polish you up. You choose. You have to choose. If you choose to say, listen, this thing ain't going to wear me down. This thing's going to make me a better person. You come into church. Woo, look how shiny she is. Look at his life. Hey, you don't know what they've been through, man. You don't know what they have to go through to be here. You don't know what she's going through, man. You don't know the trials this brother's going through. There are people that come to the church, their family persecute them for coming to church. They're of a different persuasion. They're Muslim. There are people here, listen, some people come to the church, if their family found out they're coming to the church, there'll be hell to pay. Hell to pay. And they come every week in ministry, serving, and always got the victory. Always got the victory. Because either that thing is going to wear you down or it's going to polish you up. You choose. You're going to be the one that chooses. You can't blame it on life. You will choose. Because I showed you people that have gone through things. Life has dealt that guy no hands, no arms and no legs. If that happened to some of us, God forbid, if that happened to us, we'd be like, we don't want to live. Just kill us. Put us to sleep. Do away with us. He's like, no, I'm going to live life. Some people here, if that happened to us, someone put acid on our face, our looks are gone. I can't live. No one will want me. No one will have me. I'm finished. Listen, there are women here. You're beautiful. And just because you're not dating now, you're depressed. You're beautiful. Listen, in this church, we have the most beautiful women in the whole fellowship. But it's like, I'm not dating. No one's going to want me. No one's going to want me. How much is this guy and kill myself? No! I choose that the trials in life, the hardships of my life, the problems in my life, the things that I pray for and I desire, they're making me better. They're making me better. And I'm telling you, God will come through for me. Let me close with this. We need to build walls. Look at someone say, build some walls. This is what it starts with. Listen, you need to stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. Some of you are like, huh? What? Sounds like I'm mad. I don't mean like walking down the street. Hey, how you doing? You all right? Yeah, cool. Hey, what do you want to do today? Yeah, let's go have some cappuccino. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want a cappuccino. Let's have, oh, great. Okay. No, that's not what we're talking about. Don't do that. Because we'll be visiting you. What we're talking about is you got to stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. That sometimes your feelings are going to be, oh, this is long. This is long. Give up. How many ever felt that? Come on, let's be honest. Two of you. Some people lifted the eyebrows. They just said, I'm with you, but I don't want to say. Sometimes things are going to, you're listening to yourself. Oh, let's give up. Oh, this never works. Oh, woe is me. Oh, no one likes me. Oh, why should I try? Stop listening to yourself. Speak to yourself. Say, listen, get up out of your bed. Brush your teeth. Wash the sleep out of your eyes. Cream your face and go out and do something and embrace life. Who cares if no one bought you a Valentine's card? Go and buy your own one. Amen. Put it up in your house and be like, yeah, this is from Jesus. Praise God, you come to church and listen, hey, no one asked me for a fellowship. Have your own fellowship. Yeah. Come to church, say, listen, what are you doing after church? Nothing? Listen, come around my house, I'm having a fellowship. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You've got to start to speak to yourself. Sometimes my spirit will, oh, it's too hard. Shut up, Courtney. Stop whining, Courtney. I hate it when you do that. Listen, you've got nothing to be sorry for. You've got your eyes, you can hear, you can move around. You've got a house over your head. You've got food in the fridge. I said to many people, and I've said this before, many times when it's colder, you know, like when it's like the wind, like now when the weather's this cold and it's windy and you get home and you turn the heating on, it's warm. There are people out there tonight sleeping on the streets. Sleeping on the streets. Because no one don't want them. No one don't care for them. And then we're in a house, nice and warm. Just go to the fridge, make a cup of tea. You got food. You got money. You got, yeah. But you, I haven't got a millionaire. I haven't got a million. Okay. You might not have a million. At least you got £10. Yeah. Even if you just got £10, £10. I say, you know what? I got a lot to be thankful for, man. I thank God. So you need to speak to yourself. Listen, be thankful, be grateful. I appreciate things like just my eyesight. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Just that I can hear. Come to church, listen to music. Listen to praise and worship. I've got mobility. I can go anywhere I want. Yeah, I ain't really got much money. Listen, I can go to the museum. I can walk around the museum. I can look with my eyes. I can walk with my legs. I can go around and enjoy things. Even if I got £2, okay, me and my wife, we can have a tea each. Let's share a Kit Kat. You have a tea, I have a tea, we share the Kit Kat. Right down the middle. We're just going to sit here. Hey! I can enjoy life. There are some people who are in hospital right now, lying in a bed, wishing if I only could just go out and have tea and eat a Kit Kat, I'd be happy. You got to speak to yourself. Some of you here, you've got family that love you. A family that love you. People that are around you. You may not have a million friends, but you've got two friends. Listen, that's more than some people have. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, now David was greatly distressed. Greatly distressed. That means he's like, oh. What's happened here is that David is gone to fight, and when he's come back with the soldiers, all the women and the children have been stolen by his enemies. So he's come back with all the soldiers and all of their stuff is gone. Their women and their children are gone. They're depressed. They're like, what's going on? Or like your wife and your kids have been stolen by the enemies. What are they going to do to them and all of your goods? The Bible says that David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. They're like, hold on. Listen, you told us to follow. No. You better get our kids back. They're like, listen, just stone this guy. And this is what it says here, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and his daughter.
But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. When there was nobody he could run to, when he couldn't go to any of the people and say, hey, bro, man, I'm depressed. I'm supposed to be the leader. They're looking to stone me. What am I going to do? He couldn't go to anyone in the camp because they would have said, yes, we're one of them. I'll stone you. The Bible says, you know what he did? He encouraged himself. He strengthened himself. Sometimes you've got to speak to yourself. Even if there's no one around you, you can't make that as an excuse. There's no one around me. Pastor didn't call me. The home group leader didn't fellowship with me. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Speak to yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. You can strengthen yourself. Say, listen. This is tough, man. Boy, I don't even know if I'm going to live. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. I don't know. These people, man, see how they switch on you like that? I tried to help them. They were nobodies. And I led them out and I've made them into some sort of organization. Some of them, man, would never even have a wife if it wasn't for me. Now they want to stone me. He's thinking all of these things, man. And he says, no. David, don't go down that. Strength. Listen, God has been faithful to you. God is in control. God will bring you through this. Has God ever let you down? Sometimes you got to speak to yourself. Listen to the Psalm 103 verse 1. This is David's Psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I don't know if you've ever really read that and look at the structure of the sentence. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's telling himself, listen, you better start praising God. The Bible says in Luke 15 verse 17, we know the picture of the prodigal son. The Bible says, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. The prodigal son is in the pig pen of life. He's made some bad decisions. He's gone down. And the Bible says he came to himself. He spoke to himself. He said, listen, think about it, man. Right now, it's a tough situation. But think, you could go back to your father's house. And even if you didn't, if your father didn't accept you as a son, he made you a servant, would be better than the way you are now. He had to speak to himself. Listen, some of you here, if you're going to start building some walls, you need to stop listening to yourself and start speaking to yourself. See, many times, the voices we're listening to are contradicting the Word of God. The voices you're listening to, that voice that says, you know what, this is too hard, give up, that's a contradiction to the Word of God. Where in the Bible does it ever tell us to give up? Where in the Bible does it ever say, oh, it's too hard, so throw in the towel? Where in the Bible did it ever tell us to quit? Where in the Bible did it ever tell us, listen, you're not going to make it. It's too hard for you. Never in the Bible. And so whenever you start to feel that, give up, quit, it's too hard, it's too difficult, that's not God. You need to say, no. Stop listening to that nonsense. And start speaking the word of God into your life. You can't just allow your feelings to run all over the place and every worry. Philippians 4 verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Some of you just need to memorize that. So when you start to feel nonsense, you say, no, that's nonsense. In our house, my job is to take out the rubbish, take out the trash. And so this is what it is. That's my job. So sometimes I forget. Sometimes I forget. You know, I'm busy, man. I'm busy about the kingdoms. That's my excuse. Listen, I go make sermons. And so sometimes I forget. My wife is, hey, don't forget to take out the rubbish. Yeah, no problem. It's been in the house all day. We come back. As soon as you open the door, whoo! And then sometimes it's me. I'll be like, hey, what's that smell, man? What are you doing in this house? My wife's like, it's the rubbish, man, stinking at the whole house. Sometimes those thoughts that we have that are not God those emotions, those feelings, they're stinking out your whole life. You need to take out the rubbish. You need to start speaking the word of God over your life. You need to start saying, I can. When your feelings are saying you can't, I can. You can't. I can. Shut your mouth. See, being spiritual, you know, have you ever met people that they'll talk about being spiritual? Like, I'm spiritual. And really, they're spooky. They're weirdos. You ever met people like that? I'm spiritual. It's like they have a spiritual walk, a spiritual stare. I'm spiritual. Let me pray for you. No. You pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. No, I can. And people think this is spiritual, and they'll be talking to you, and then people coming to the church. There's been times people coming to the church. But hi, my name's Courtney. People know, you know, they'll figure out I'm the pastor. I don't have to go. I'm Pastor Courtney. Yeah, I'm Courtney. You'll figure it out. Yeah, I'm prophet. No prophet. People talk about being spiritual. Spiritual, have a big Bible, massive Bible. You know, they always want to talk about deep, 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 deep theological things. And they say it with a theological voice. And sometimes when they pray, they pray in old King James. O thou God, thou art mighty and awesome. Bless this bountiful table that is set before us. Can I say all of that is not spiritual? Do you know what real spirituality is? Being able to control yourself. That's real spirituality. If you're spiritual, you can control. You can say no when your flesh is saying yes. It doesn't get more spiritual than that. When your flesh is saying, yeah, do it. No. My days, you are a spiritual heavyweight. Imagine if we could just all do that. 99% of our problems be over. Hey, bro, look at that girl. No. Finished. Done. I'm living for Jesus. I mean, you know that. That's it. Sis, you should be bitter with that sister. No. Sis, you should just get angry right now. No. Let's gossip about so-and-so. No. We look at it like, oh, no. We want the other spiritual. No, this is more spiritual because the Bible says that this is a direct correlation, a connection, the offspring, the children of the work of the Spirit in your life. Galatians 5:23 says gentleness, and the next one is what? Self-control. Say it again.
Self-control.
Say it one more time.
Self-control.
This is the work of the Spirit. If you cannot control yourself, then there is something disconnected with you and the Spirit. It says self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions. That means they can say no to what the flesh wants and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, what does it say? Let us walk in the Spirit. That means I walk and I can just say no. You're not doing that. I can control myself. Now, why have I made a big point about that? Because I want to leave you with this. The Bible says today, every single one of us that are in Christ, if you're a genuine Christian, you can control what you worry about. Every single one of you here, if you're a genuine Christian, if you're a genuine Christian, God is saying, here you go, there you go. It doesn't matter what's going through your life, you can control it. Now, this is just getting me down. I can't take this anymore. No, that's not the case. Jesus says, if you're in the Spirit, he's going to give you the ability to say, no, I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to be anxious about this. This doesn't have to get me down. I am going to put up some walls that, yes, I will plan and I will take my responsibilities and I will do what I need to do. But these worries are not going to affect my marriage. These worries are not going to affect my children. These worries are not going to affect my job. You know, some people are so stressed they can't go to work. It's affecting your career. It's affecting your ministry. All of that, you need to say, no, the Bible says, it uses words like this. I'm just going to run through them quickly. It speaks about don't be like that. If you say don't be, that means I can control it. The Bible says, uses words like let not. When we say let, we use that in what type of setting? When you have a house, to let. That means you cannot let my house out. You don't own it. Only the owner can let. So when the Bible says let not, the Bible is saying you are in control of what you will let affect your life. The Bible says set your mind. Have this mind in you. The Bible continually is trying to show us. Jesus is saying who the Son sets free is free indeed. You are now free to serve God. You are free to control what goes on in your own mind and spirit. See, Jesus has the power to give us the victory today. And I want to say this is something that I've made. I have made a choice not to worry. So I don't worry. I don't know what is ahead of me. I have many responsibilities as the pastor of this church and just in my own personal life. I'm not trouble-free. I'm not worry-free. God is not just everything I pray for. It just comes down. When I wake up in the morning, it's just wrapped like in a Christmas present. I pull the bow, it's there. No. I have many unanswered prayers in my life still. But I have no worries. Because I choose not to worry. Some of you today need to choose. Say, listen, I'm going to choose not to worry. Let me tell you this now. This is how I live. I do my best. And God works on the rest. I do my best. It's not like I just sit back. Yeah, just let God sort it out, man. No, I do my best. And once I've done my best, I can do no more. God does the rest. And I'm telling you now, God always comes through. Let us have no worries. Today, God has given you the key to control your own spirit by his power in Christ. Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.